Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, September 12th, 2015, and this is show number 25.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, he's not talking to you.
And God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and in the mighty name and authority of Jesus Christ, today I want to challenge you, yes, I'm speaking to you, dear listener, to either man up or shut up. That's right, in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, either man up or shut up. Let me just give you a quick disclaimer before I jump into today's content. My disclaimer is this. This show, this broadcast, is all about evangelizing the church in the age of delusion in which we live. This is not about the evangelism of the church to the rest of the world. I'm talking to the lost within the church. This is all about reaching the lost within the church, the professing church of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this message is directed at the hypocrites. The hypocrites who profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Those who confess Jesus as Lord on Sunday, but then they deny him in the workplace Monday through Friday. But not only that, this message is also intended to be a source of edification and challenge and admonition and encouragement to the few out there, to the remnant who really do know Jesus, to stand up for your faith and to represent Jesus with all of your might. I want to start by saying, and in fact, I think the seed thought came when I was listening to a TV preacher, and he made a statement that I've heard by so many other copycat false prophets. He said, he made the blanket statement, "God's not mad at you." Have you ever heard that, a preacher or a pastor? I pray it wasn't your pastor. But making a blanket statement that God's not mad at you. You know what? I want to tell you this. Jesus Christ is coming again, and the Bible clearly teaches that he's coming in wrath. I think he's mad at somebody. Let's go right to the scripture. And as I do, I want to say that statement, when a preacher makes a statement like that, a blanket statement that God's not mad at you, especially when it's on TV and may go to millions of listeners, it is irresponsible at best and straight-up evil at worst. Let me take you to just one book of the Bible, Revelation 6, 16 through 17. This is what it says about the second coming of Jesus Christ. "And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the presence of the Lord, of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" Dear listener, do you know that the Bible clearly teaches there is something called the wrath of the Lamb? Do you know who the Lamb is? That's right, Jesus Christ. He may not be mad at you, but I'm telling you, he's mad at somebody, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 11, 18, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came." That's the wrath of Jesus, the wrath of the Lamb. "And the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and to those who fear your name, the small and the great, and also to destroy those who destroy the earth." And then Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10 says this. Another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God." Did you hear me, friends? He also, I quote, "will drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Oh, you better believe that God is mad at somebody, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And then again, Revelation 15:1. "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last." Why? Because in them, the wrath of God is finished. And then Revelation 15:7, Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And then on to 16:1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Brothers and sisters, if you want to know the truth that'll make you free, God may not be angry at you, but he sure is mad at somebody. He's got no less than seven full bowls of his wrath to be poured out at the second coming of Christ. Revelation 16:19, the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And I can just hear so many of you out there saying, Pastor Brad, where's the grace? Where's the grace? Brothers and sisters, did you not just hear that I was reading straight from the Word of God, verse after verse after verse? You've got to learn to make some connection between the grace of God and the truth of God. In fact, I want to direct you to a quote from my own daughter, Allison Righteous. She put it this way, quote, to understand the Jesus that provides grace, you need to understand the Jesus that flips the tables. Let me say that one more time. It is profound truth. To understand the Jesus that provides grace, you need to understand the Jesus that flips the tables. And I would add, you first need to understand the table flipping Jesus. You see, it is true, absolutely. Jesus is a God of love. But did you know this? Jesus is also a God of hate. Oh, have you not heard that before? Have you never heard that from a preacher? Let me spend the next several minutes proving that to you. You see, what is true about God's love is he loves the sinner. He loves us without condition. You can't do anything so bad to make him love you any less. You can't do anything so good to make him love you anymore. But let me tell you this also. Jesus hates sin. He despises sin. Let me take you to a few verses. First, the one that my daughter quoted regarding flipping the table, John 2:13-16. It says, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturn their tables. Are you asking yourself, where's the grace, Jesus? I thought you were a God of grace. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. You see, in other places, Jesus makes it clear that God's house is to be a house of prayer, not a house of business. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. Jesus hates the mixing of money with ministry. And I'm so sorry to tell you, but you turn on your TV to Christian television and you'll see it every single day. Preacher after preacher after preacher. Everything's a seed. Everything connects somehow to sending him money, and Jesus hates it, and it's pure evil. And I want to tell these people they need to just shut up. Their only hope is to repent. Jesus clearly said in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be beholden to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Though it amazes me how many of these preachers try. Luke 17:1-2 says this. He said, that is Jesus, to his disciples, it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble, referring to the children around him. Did you hear that? Have you heard this? Do you know that Jesus hates abortion? He absolutely despises abortion. When it comes to abortion, Jesus Christ is a God of hate. He loves the women who have the abortion, but he hates the sin. Have you heard this from your pulpit? Have you heard that from your preacher? If you have not, I want to challenge you to demand a reason why. Demand to know why he hasn't spoke from the pulpit about this silent holocaust that plagues the United States and much of the world today. I want to tell you what Jesus just said. I want to reiterate. Jesus said it would be better if the abortionists were dead. It is better for you to be dead than to cause a child to stumble. Do you hear me, all of you pedophiles out there? All of those of you who, with your secret sin, have to do with sexual immorality as it applies to children. The Bible says, repent, repent of your sin. This is the beauty of God's grace. You want to know about God's grace? All of us deserve to die eternally separated from God. God of grace so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But as it is, you are dead in your sins. And one of the sins that God hates so badly is abuse of children. And if you're going to continue to abuse children, defying God's word, then Jesus himself said, it's better, you're better off dead. And what that means is then to face the day of judgment and eternal separation in hellfire. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 says the following. He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. And after looking around at them with anger, do you know this Bible verse, my dear friends? This is Mark 3, 1 through 6, and this is in reference to Jesus. He says, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. You want to know something else Jesus hates? You want to know something else that he's mad about and who he's mad at? The hypocrisy of religious leaders. Hypocrisy in all forms. You know, I know of a church where a couple of their pastors are known habitual liars. Can you believe that? Yes, you heard me right. Known habitual liars, and it's seemingly no big deal to that congregation. Well, let me tell you this. It may not be a big deal to them, but it's a big deal to God. I'm reading from Revelation 21, beginning with verse 6, and this is what it says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. That's grace. And he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I'll be his God, and he will be my son. Hey, that's grace. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God hates lying. He loves liars, but if you are a liar, you need to repent, and you need to cry out to the Lord and receive the forgiveness that comes from his incredible grace. And oh, I hear you. I hear somebody out there. I've offended you, haven't I? I've offended your sensibilities. Oh, now you're angry with me. Well, here's my response. In fact, my response is simply the response of Jesus from Mark 7, verse 6 through 9, which says, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God you hold to the traditions of men. You know, I want to give you one more example of what greatly grieves the heart of God. Revelation 2, verse 19 through 23, it says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you. And by the way, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the church. He says, I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. This is Jesus talking to a church. I gave her time to repent, but she doesn't want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness. Are you with me here, brothers and sisters? Your offense is not with me. I'm reading from the scripture, the very words of Jesus spoken to a church. If you don't repent, I'll throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her deeds And if that isn't bad enough, Revelation 2, verse 23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to your deeds. I want to tell you, let me say to you again, God may not be mad at you, it's true, but you better believe he's angry with somebody. And speaking of those who profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, let me talk about Donald Trump for a minute. Is there anybody listening? And I can't believe this is true, but I've heard about it firsthand. You honestly believe this man is a Christian? And, does that bother you? Are you uncomfortable that I said that? Pastor Brad, you're not to judge. Brothers and sisters, I'm not judging Donald Trump. The Word of God judges us all. I'm letting you know what the Word of God says. I'm reading here from the Christianity Today, an article dated July 20th of this year. Let me pick up the quotation. Questioned by Republican pollster Frank Lutz at the Family Leadership Summit in Ames, Iowa on Saturday, Trump said he's a Presbyterian, and he also likes going to church. Quote, people are so shocked when they find out I'm a Protestant. I am Presbyterian, and I go to church, and I love God, and I love my church, Trump says. In yet another controversial statement, the businessman admitted that he's not sure that he's ever asked God for forgiveness. Quote, I'm not sure that I have. I just go on and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so, Trump said, in reference to asking God for forgiveness, when asked by Luntz if he had ever asked for forgiveness from God. Trump goes on, I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into the picture. I don't, he said. You hear what Trump is saying? When it comes to sin or sinful behavior, he doesn't bring God into the picture. Trump further said that although he has not asked God for forgiveness, he feels, quote, cleansed when he participates in Holy Communion. And let me say, brothers and sisters, I bet there are millions like that today, millions of the many of whom Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not perform many miracles? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not perform Holy Communion? Was I not a pastor? Was I not an elder? Was I not a deacon? And Jesus will say to them on that day, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Final quote from Donald Trump, when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that is a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed. He said, I think in terms of let's go on and let's make it right. You see, Donald Trump may well think he is a Christian. In fact, I believe that he believes that he is. But let me tell you this about that. He worships a God of his own creation. He worships, like so many, a God of his own imagination. And let me tell you that the God of your imagination cannot and will not save you. And how about this Jesus of the past two presidents, the current one and the past one? Barack Obama says he's a Christian. Do you believe that? George Bush says he's a Christian. Do you honestly believe that? Let me just give you one example that deeply troubles me. And that is, both of them are on record as saying that the God of Christianity is the same God of Islam. Let me tell you something about that. That is despicable. I want to tell you, somebody who hates that, I hate to hear that because that is so blasphemous, I can't even begin to describe it. It would be exactly like this. And let me say that either it's incredible ignorance to make the statement that the Allah of the Quran is the Yahweh of the Bible. To make that statement is either the epitome of ignorance or it is straight up evil. It would be exactly like me saying that Barack Obama is the same person as George Bush. Why? Because they're both presidents, right? Does anybody believe that? If I told you that I honestly believe that Barack Obama is the same as George Bush, you might think I'm insane. You might think, at the very least, right, that would be outrageously ignorant. Well, let me tell you that the differences between a Barack Obama and George Bush aren't even close to the radical differences between the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran. I want to tell you, folks, you either need to man up or shut up with regard to your Christianity. You cannot serve two masters. The Bible knows nothing of a closet Christian, somebody who is secretly a Christian. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible knows nothing of a lukewarm Christian. In fact, Jesus says that he will spit you out of your mouth, of his mouth, if you're lukewarm. The Bible knows nothing of those who are embarrassed to name the name of Jesus. Are you embarrassed to name the name of Jesus? I want to tell you, you need to get saved if you are. You need to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to repent of that, because those who are truly saved are sold out followers of Jesus Christ. As imperfect as we may be, we deny ourselves. We take up our cross daily and we follow him. Let me tell you something that the Bible also knows nothing about. The Bible knows nothing of those who profess to know Jesus but then embrace the sins of the culture. I want to tell you, the many who Jesus says are not saved have come to the forefront of modern Christianity. It is the apostate church, the great falling away of the church just prior to the return of Jesus. Jesus said that if you deny me, I will deny you. So in Jesus' name, I want to tell you one more time, you either need to man up or shut up. I want to tell you that in Daniel 1:8, the Bible says of Daniel, who was a Christian, he made up his mind that he wouldn't defile himself. I want to tell you that Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, choose ye this day whom you will serve. And in Jesus' name, that's what I'm challenging you to do. As Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:21, he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? There's somebody listening right now, probably many of you, who you've been hesitating for so long, but God's word to you in this moment, this is a day of reckoning, a moment of reckoning for you. As Elijah said, if the Lord is God, follow him, but if he's not, then don't, either yes or no. Jesus said a man cannot serve two masters. Jesus himself said, you're either with me or against me. Jesus said of those who are mediocre Christians, which there is no such thing, there is only imperfect Christians, but the real Christians are fully devoted followers and representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But for those of you that are lukewarm, you're in grave danger. Better for you to be cold, Jesus said, than to be lukewarm. And on behalf of those of us who name the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior and take up our cross daily and follow him, I want to tell you, those of you who profess to know God, but by your deeds, you deny him, you're damaging the church irreparably. You're damaging the church beyond measure. You are a stain on the landscape of Christianity. And I want to just tell you, just either be against Jesus or for him, but anything in the middle is a part of this age of delusion. In Jesus' name, I want to challenge you to either man up or shut up. Oh God, I pray for those right now, those individuals that you're speaking to right now in this moment. I cry out to you for your mercy upon their souls, that you would send your kindness to lead them to repentance, that you would convict them harshly that they are either with you or against you, and there is no in between. And for all those that are liars out there that are listening to this, oh God, let your grace be at work in their lives to do whatever is necessary to bring them to a point of confession, of acknowledgement, and repentance. In Jesus' name, watch over your word to perform it. Cause the voice of your authority to be heard. In Jesus' precious, precious name, I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.